प्रसंगम अजरम भाषम आत्मना कवयो विदुः सहेव साधुषु कृतो मोक्षं वाधमपावतम्. Translation: Every learned person knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Purport: Here it is clearly stated that attachment for one thing is the cause of bondage in the conditioned life, and the same attachment, when applied to something else, opens the door of liberation. Attachment cannot be killed. It has simply to be transferred. Attachment for material things is called material consciousness, and attachment for Krishna or his devotee is called Krishna consciousness. Consciousness, therefore, is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation. Despite the statement that one should give up attachment, desirelessness is not possible for a living entity. A living entity, by constitution, has the propensity to be attached to something. We see that if someone has no object of attachment, if he has no children, then he transfers his attachment to cats and dogs. This indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. Our attachment for material things perpetuates our continual conditioned state. But the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee, is the source of liberation. Here it is recommended that attachment should be transferred to the self-realized devotees, the sadhus. And who is a sadhu? A sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or a long beard. A sadhu is described in the Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly engages in devotional service. Even though one is found not to be following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service, if one simply has unflinching faith in Krishna, the Supreme Person, he is understood to be a sadhu. Sadhur eva samantavya. A sadhu is a strict follower of devotional service. It is recommended here that if one at all wants to realize Brahman, or spiritual perfection, his attachment should be transferred to the sadhu or devotee. Lord Chaitanya also confirmed this. Lava matra sadhu sange sarva siddhi hoy. Simply by a moment's association with a sadhu, one can attain perfection. Mahatma is a synonym of sadhu. It is said that service to a mahatma, or elevated devotee of the Lord, is dwaram ahu vimukte, the royal road of liberation. Mahatsevam dwaram ahu vimukte stamo dwaram yoshitang sangam Bhagavatam 552. Rendering service to the materialists has the opposite effect. If anyone offers service to a gross materialist or a person engaged only in sense enjoyment, then by association with such a person, the door to hell is opened. The same principle is confirmed here. Attachment to a devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord, because if one associates with a sadhu, the result will be that the sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee, a worshipper, and a sincere servitor of the Lord. These are the gifts of a sadhu. If we want to associate with a sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instructions on how to improve our material condition. But he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of the contamination of material attraction and how to elevate ourselves in devotional service. That is the result of associating with a sadhu. Kapila Muni first of all instructs that the path of liberation begins with such association. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om jnanatma ramdasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshu unmilitam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So one could properly say that in the course of our lives, association is everything. Association truly determines the course of our destiny. Because, as we were discussing last night, the mind reflects whatever it comes in contact with. The mind is just like a sponge, or like a mirror, if you will. Cheto darpana marginam. So the tendency is, especially in this Kali Yuga, that it's very difficult to find good association. Association being that association which can uplift us. Rather, we find that the vast mass of people who we associate with in our everyday course of life, without any tinge of devotional service, there'll be people in the modes of nature, those who are bringing us into a life of material attachment and bondage. So the gift of the sadhu, and we see Srila Prabhupada when he came to America more than 40 years ago now, he gave his own association. This was the greatest gift. And with that association, as he describes here, he gave the holy name and he gave pure instruction. And after some time, at first he had little success, but after a whole year of persistence and great effort, he found a few souls who were willing to take that association, be receptive to his gifts, and to begin the process of purification. So here, the principle of association and attachment is being stressed by Lord Kapila Dev. His mother approached him, and taking the role of a conditioned soul, what had happened is that her husband, Kardama, had left, and all her daughters had been married off, and now she was alone with Kapila Dev, her son. And she recognized him as an incarnation. And she also took the role of saying, I'm very troubled by my senses. My senses are giving me so much a disturbance in my mind because of attachment to material things. So she's taking the role of a conditioned soul. And she's asking him to please give her a means by which she can escape from this bondage and this trouble. And so Kapila Dev begins to describe the process of yoga. And this is the beginning of his instruction in chapter 25. And he starts with this essential instruction on association. Where do you go in order to learn about this process of yoga? So this is a very important verse. The attachment, the very attachment we have. And what is attachment? Attachment are commonly known as these ropes, isn't it? Like grunta in the heart, knots in the heart, that keep us bound to the things of this world. You cultivate an attachment. You cultivate an attachment by coming in contact with something that kicks off something in the brain, if you will, in the mind, that says, oh, this is something enjoyable. Let me pursue this. Let me stay associated with. Whether it's a person, an object, a fragrance, a form, there are these different objects of the senses we become attached to. And these create impressions in the mind. And if you do it once and you enjoy it, then you want to do it again. And again and again and again. And this becomes another knot or another rope that keeps you bound to this world. So we have, when we are born in this world, we're not born with a clean slate. We have so many cultivated attachments that we did not fulfill in our previous life. Because these desires to enjoy through attachment and association with material things is never satisfied. This lust, this kama, can never be satisfied in this world because the senses are limited. The senses are limited in their ability to give us pleasure. So with all of those unfulfilled desires, we again take birth in a womb, perhaps a human womb, perhaps a subhuman womb, or even a superhuman womb. But we take birth again in the material world to try to fulfill these desires, these attachments. So what he's saying here is that very attachment that we have cannot be suppressed or repressed, but it has to be transferred. There's this nice word that we can use, sublimate. The sublimate really means to make sublime. And so the very activities of the senses, just like we learned from the first canto in Narada Muni, that very thing which has caused the disease in a little different form can be the cause of the cure of the disease. And the Prabhupada gives the example of the milk products. If you drink too much milk, too much sweet rice and milk, you may get upset stomach, indigestion. So if you have yogurt, then that can serve as a calming of the stomach and a cure. But milk is nothing but yogurt. Yogurt is nothing but milk transformed. So the attachment that we have, we need to transfer, first of all, to the sadhu, to the great saint who can enlighten us. And then, so the question arises, who is that, who is the sadhu? Prabhupada begins to answer in this purport. He quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, Api chet suraracharo bhajate ma mananya bhak sadhur eva samantavyak samyag bhavasito hi saha. That even though one may be performing abominable activity, if he's serving me with unflinching devotion and faith, then he should be considered a sadhu. And shiptam bhavate dharmarna shastra chantim nagachati kaunti yabhate janhe namai bhakta panashati. That quickly becomes purified, dharmatma, it becomes dharmatma, and on the pure platform. Declare it boldly, O Kunti, my devotee never perishes. So the main instruction there is that, bhajate mam ananya bhak, that is the sadhu, one who is worshipping me, says Krishna, with unflinching devotion. In this next verse, this famous verse, we find more description of the sadhu. Titikshava karunika sudidak sarvadehinam ajata shattavak shanta sarvak sarubhushanaha. Because he said associate with a sadhu, so who is a sadhu? Okay, if I accept that, I have to know where to go to find him. So he gives some essential qualities. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. So this first quality of titikshava, this of course comes up right at the beginning of Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, matra sparshas tukonteya. The idea that one has to be tolerant, because what is intolerance? Tolerance means that any little affront or any little pain, suffering, you try to mitigate it, isn't it? And you try to counteract it. This is the symptom of one deeply in the modes of nature. For one to be on the transcendental platform, one has to learn to tolerate both the physical, mental, emotional negativities, if you will. Things that would ordinarily cause you to counteract by some means. This tolerance. And Krishna says right at the beginning, Yam hi abdatiyam te te purusham purusha shabha sama dukha sukham dhiram somitatvaya kalpate. This word dhira means that one is equipoised. The matra sparsha tukonteya, the sensations that come from contact with the senses, heat and cold, pleasure and pain, they come and go. One has to learn to tolerate them. And unless one can, one is not eligible for liberation. So this is a important platform to come to. And not only tolerant, but karunika, merciful. So this is a perfect example of a Sankirtan devotee, one who goes out and faces the people, who goes out to, like Srila Prabhupada, he came to an unknown country as a pioneer. He had to have supreme tolerance. The weather, the people who were so contaminated, unreceptive, isn't it? But he remained unperturbed, dhira, in all of this difficulty. So karunika, to be merciful, one has to be tolerant. Because people don't know that they're in trouble. They don't want to hear. They don't want to receive the message. It's just like the person in delirium on the hospital bed has a fever, and he doesn't know where he is or who's what. The doctor comes to administer some medicine, and he thinks he's an enemy, and he knocks him away. So the doctor doesn't give up. He simply, you know, finds a way to administer the medicine in such a way that it will be accepted. Similarly, in this age and in this time, it's rare to find someone who's very receptive to the message of Krishna consciousness. So if we want to give them the blessings that have been given to us, then we have to be tolerant and also feel that compassion for them. Suridak sarva dehinam, to be friends of all living beings. This is goes with the karunika. Ajata shatravat, having no enmity. Now this is an important quality, because in this world, due to friction between people, this is after all the age of Kali, that means quarrel and dissension, there develops so much enmity between people and groups of people, races, nations, nationalities, and that enmity is then held within the heart as a grudge from generation to generation. Just look at the world today, the Middle East and Africa and different parts. There's so many wars and conflagrations going on, major ones and minor ones, due to historical grievances that have been kept and nurtured very carefully from father to son and from mother to child, isn't it? So but the devotee, the sincere devotee, he cleanses the heart of that. Even if there's some affront, he doesn't hold the grudge within his heart. That's what a jata shatru means, is that he doesn't feel enmity toward others, though others may feel enmity toward him or her. This is a characteristic of the sadhu. And because of that, all of these qualities, he's peaceful. There's peacefulness. Now, who can really be peaceful in this world? Only the devotee. Famous verse that Lord Chaitanya spoke to Sanatan, I think it was. Maybe it was Rupa. Krishna bhakta nishkama ateva shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. So the Krishna bhakta, because he has no material desire, he can be peaceful. Why are we not peaceful? Because we don't have something we want, or something that we have and cherish is threatened to be taken away from us. Isn't it? All of that causes so much anxiety, personally and socially. But if you are desireless, not in the sense of not having desire, but no material desire, that your only desire is to serve Krishna, which you can do at any time, in any place. No one can stop you from serving Krishna, if you really want to. No matter where you are, who you are, or what time it is. So, therefore, that can never be taken from you if you truly want it. So, that only the devotee is peaceful. The bhukti, siddhi kamis. Kami means someone who longs for, desires material enjoyment, liberation, impersonal liberation, or yogic siddhis. All of them are not shanta, are not peaceful. So the sadhu is truly peaceful because, as Prabhupada says, he's a mahatma. Mahatmanastamampata daivim prakritamashrita. The mahatma, according to Krishna in 9th chapter, he's taken shelter of the internal energy. And bhajanti nanya manaso gyatva bhutaram avyam. He worships me without any deviation. What does he do? Satatam kirtayanto mam. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination. Such a great soul is linked up to me in yoga, and he's peaceful. So that sadhu, he's always peaceful, and yet he's always enlivened in devotional service. So if you find someone with that quality, just like association, how can we get that good association? Well, we always have, this is a great gift of Srila Prabhupada, we can have his association. We have his association in the most important way, through his words. We have the recorded sound of his voice, giving so many unlimited classes, darshans, addresses, and of course, his books, most importantly. So that association is always available to us. Still, we should search out some person who we can respect, who embodies these qualities, and who can inspire us in devotional service. And this kind of attachment through association and service will be our open the doors to liberation. We should, in this stage of devotional service, we should not poo-poo liberation. Although ultimately liberation comes automatically to a sincere devotee who's following. Still, liberation is an important first step and desire for any intelligent human being. How many times did Srila Prabhupada quote for us, janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshana darshanam, and essential elements of knowledge from the 13th chapter. Why does Krishna include that? Because this is kind of if you can remember those things, which means seeing the evils or seeing the dangers of birth, old age, disease, and death, then you can never become optimistic about enjoying in this world, isn't it? If you truly see that it's, you know, the sand and the sweet rice, so to speak, that although it may seem pleasurable temporarily, ultimately it's not a place of pleasure or a place of safety, then you can become serious about getting out. That's called liberation. So the path to liberation begins with this good association and having receptive or submissible reception to the words of the sadhu. So that desire for liberation is not a bad thing, especially at the beginning. It can give us gravity and it can give us determination to become fixed and become determined in the practices of devotional service. After all, if we're to follow the principles of Rupa Goswami and his nectar of instruction, then we need to be enthusiastic and patient and determined in what? Tat tat karma pavartanat. In following the regulative principles of Vairi Bhakti. And Sangha Tyaga. Here the same point of Sangha comes in. This sangha is so important. Giving up what? Material association. And sotto-vritte, following in the footsteps of the great souls, the sadhus. So it comes up again and again. If we want to be determined and have the spiritual strength to follow the path of bhakti, we need to draw daily inspiration from the association with sadhus. And this is why Prabhupada set up this morning program, which begins with glorification of the guru, and which an association with the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, living in a holy place, it happens in the temple. All of these five elements are there, right? Studying Srimad Bhagavatam in association with devotees, chanting the holy name, associating with others, worshipping the deity. All of them are there in the morning program and give us the spiritual strength in order to follow nicely the process of devotional service. Now, as he goes on here, he describes how this association matures. And I just like to read one other verse because it also deals with association. Satam prasangam mama virya sambido. That's text 25. Satam prasangam mama virya sambido bhavanti ritkana rasaya nakata tadjoshanat ashu apavarga vartmani shuddha ratir bhakti anukravishyati. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation. And thereafter, he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. So this is the, you know, one should associate with the sadhus. Well, how? This is how. Satam prasangan mamavirya sambido. Sambido means discussion. It means conversation about glorification, about Krishna's virya, his powerful pastimes, sweet pastimes. And this is not something bitter. You know, this is a medicine to cure the disease of birth and death. But it's not a medicine that's difficult to take. It's very relishable. The kirtan, sankirtan, this is the heart of it. That's also satam prasangan. It's also Krishna katha. Krishna Katha is also is a holy name also. So where is the great austerity in, you know, chanting and dancing and singing like that? It's just sweet. If you just take part in it and let yourself go, it's very, very pleasant. So Ritkarna Rasayana Katha. Rasayana is like a life-giving elixir. And so this transcendental sound, when it is heard and experienced in association of real sadhus, is just like a life-giving elixir. Remember in the 10th canto, it's described, Nivritta tarsharu bhagiyamanam bhavaushadat shrota manobiramat. Bhavaushadi means the herbal remedy, if you will, the medicine to cure the disease of birth and death. And it is shrota manobiramat, the same idea. It's very pleasing to the ear, to the heart, to the mind, just to relish these. And if one does it, then quickly one follows the path of liberation, apavarga vartmani, and not only liberation, but shraddha, rati, and bhakti, faith, and love, and pure prema bhakti, follow in one after another by this process. So this is the essence of our process of devotional service, coming together and glorifying the Lord, sankirtan, in all kinds of ways. Right? In literally glorifying the holy name, in working to build the temple, to maintain the temple, to come together regularly and glorify the Lord in the temple, to go out and invite others, right? To maintain our families and raise children so that they can become devotees and not go and become entangled in material activities. This is all part of this process of association, getting strength to do these things. So Prabhupada, this is a very important verse, and he describes the result of this, how one's bhakti matures in the association of devotees. So this shraddha is an important point here. We can just focus on this a minute. That shraddha is the basis of everything. Everyone has faith. You read chapter 17 of the Bhagavad Gita. Faith is an inevitable concomitant of the human condition. You cannot do anything without faith. Meaning, you go out down on the street, and you walk across the street, and the light is green, right? It says walk. Well, you have complete faith that this side is a red light, isn't it? If the 90-degree angle is not red, and you walk across, there'll be havoc, right? So you take one step. I live in California, Southern California. Here you have the hurricanes, here we have the earthquakes. Here, you know, you get some warning. The earthquakes, you don't get any warning. You know, it's any minute it comes, right? So, but still, you can't live if you're thinking, oh, there's an earthquake coming any second. You can't live in Southern California. You have to kind of have faith that your next step will be solid ground, right? Solid ground. So we don't notice it, but faith is there. And Arjuna asked the question, well, if someone gives up the Shastra, he doesn't act according to the scripture, then what is his faith? And Krishna describes, oh, it's in the modes of nature. He likes a certain kind of food, he likes a certain kind of austerity, a certain kind of charity. There's all of these things in different modes, depending on your faith. So transcendental faith develops in the association of devotees. How to get faith? By associating with the faithful. That's how to get faith in Krishna. When you think about it, it's totally amazing. This whole movement is a miracle. Every single square inch of it. How could, you know, cynical, you know, guys from the 60s like myself and Amarendra. I don't know about you, but I was a total atheist. I was a leftist, radical, communist. I had no faith in God at all. Maybe you did. But somehow, you know, we've been chanting Hare Krishna, reading these books, you know, worshipping. Because Prabhupada, he emanated complete certainty and faith. It wasn't some belief that he had. He knew. In something sublime beyond the realm of the senses. You cannot see Krishna in his spiritual reality with our present eyes. You can't hear. So we need someone to come down from that realm to give us access to the invisible, the avyaktam, the transcendental. And Prabhupada came and he spoke with such certainty and such authority and such realization, it just blew us away. The doubts, he destroyed doubts and was able to instill faith. And that's true of his books as well. If you read Srila Prabhupada's books, there's no question of maybe it's this way, maybe it's that way, this one says this one. This is it. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and here's how to know him. And the Bhagavatam text is also like that, isn't it? It just, if you read it, you get that, say, oh, this is certainty. So that installation of faith by association with the faithful, then will you get faith in what? Faith in the process. And also faith in Krishna, and another important aspect of faith, faith that you can also be empowered to follow. This is one of the tricks of Maya. Yeah, you know, I believe in Krishna, I believe in the process, but I have no ability, I have no belief that I can follow it. So I'll just sort of fade away or do a little bit of this and that. This is truly a symptom of lack of faith in Krishna. If Krishna is all powerful, then isn't he powerful enough to empower any of us to actually follow the principle? If Prabhupada is a pure devotee, couldn't he empower some of his followers to also be pure devotees? Yes. Otherwise, it's lack of faith in Prabhupada and lack of faith in Krishna. So to have faith means to have faith in ourselves also, not as that we have such great power, but that by the mercy of the Lord, we can also be given the spiritual strength to follow the process. And then these higher rati and bhakti. You know, rati sometimes is a synonym for bhava or ecstasy. That these things follow by a natural course by good association. Because, as Prabhupada mentioned, good association means getting good instruction and having the faith to follow it. So this first chapter is wonderful. He describes all of these aspects of devotion. And then there's one line here that's very famous, and I'll just end with this, is that by this process of bhakti, devotional service, dissolves the subtle body of the living entity without separate effort, just as fire in the stomach digests all that we eat. So, what is that subtle body? It's in this case, the material mind and the material intelligence. So, by the process of devotional service, by chanting the holy name, by associating with devotees, by worshipping the deity, by doing all of the nine processes of devotional service, then one's automatically, by that association, the consciousness becomes purified. And one can begin to understand oneself as we truly are. We were discussing last night, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, that the soul is, first of all, completely distinct from the body. And who really knows that? You know, we have all these false designations that we put on ourselves. What is it? Sarva Upadhi, Avinirmuktam Tatpadatvena Nirmalam. That these Upadhis are weighing us down. you know, old, young, white, black, Indian, American, even male, female, all of these are ultimately simply characteristics of the body. It's not that we can ignore them, but we should know that this is not our eternal identity. We have a different identity as servants of Krishna, which is beyond all of these things. And that this is who we truly are. And the whole point of the whole art and science of bhakti is using the present facility, make a best use of the bad bargain. We have attachment, can repress it. Okay, so gear it, redirect it, sublimate it toward the sadhus. Right? We want to taste wonderful food. Well, that's what prasadam is for. Offer some wonderful food to Krishna, and then take the remnants, and it becomes a spiritual act, a loving exchange. We want to see beautiful things. Okay, so satisfy your eyes with the beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Shyama Sundar. We want to hear beautiful vibrations. So hear the wonderful poetry of Bhagavatam, the songs, the bhajans, all the senses can be directed, dovetailed, as we say, in the service of Krishna. And satisfied, even way beyond what we can so-called get from satisfaction from material engagement. So this art has been given to us in detail, and Srila Prabhupada showed us how to practice it. We should become serious in doing it. This is the mission of human life. Otherwise, we can simply glide down and engage in animal life, and we may even get an animal's life, a body in the next life. We don't want to risk that. We should become serious to practice devotional service and associate with sadhus, associate with pure sound vibration, and become determined to follow the path to the end, to liberation and pure bhakti, and return back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. If there are any questions or comments. Now, before we do, forgive me. It wouldn't be right if I didn't leave you without a poem. This particular verse that I chose, I did put into a little poem. It's easy to remember. You can't remember the Sanskrit. Mundane affection keeps us tied to birth and death infernal. But love for sadhus opens wide the door to life eternal. Maybe you can try to remember that. Comments, questions, objections? Ganga Narayan?
In the purport, it mentioned that even if one commits the most abominable actions, he's considered saintly. Also, it said that a sadhu is sometimes not found to be following the rules and regulations. Now, most people who read this may think, well, that may be somebody that really doesn't sound like on the high caliber, but I was thinking that Bilba Mangal Thakur says in the Nectar of Devotion that an example of somebody who's already liberated but who has not been freed from the material impasse.
Impasse, I think.
He was an example of that, and so I've read in other places that he was actually on the Bhagavad-gita.
You mean before he actually went to Vrindavan? Is that
what
you're saying?
But because there is, even in the Bhagavad, there's some unmanifested things that don't usually come out.
Yeah, a few in artists, yeah.
He set that example by having it come out, so I just wanted to know your take on that.
Yeah, that. Well, this verse, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's quoting from near the end of the ninth chapter, that. Samoham Savabhuteshu Namedreshosina Priya, that Krishna is truly equal to all. The one who worships him, he's a friend to him, he's in him, and he's a friend to him. And so, therefore, anyone can be a devotee. The quality is whether one is Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak. So, what I get from this is that there may be some latent or some remnants, if you will, of impious activity in one's behavior, one's character. But if one is truly worshiping every day sincerely and trying to cleanse away these impurities, then one should regard that person as a sadhu. This is very important for us because we tend to be absolutists. We're dealing with the absolute truth. So if someone, you know, deviates or he has some fault, we say, oh, he's fallen away. But truly, if we see that the person is making a sincere effort to reform and to get on the pure platform, then we should consider them sadhus. We should consider them devotees and encourage them to come up to the standard platform again. So this is what I get from... Krishna is very tolerant and he's very welcoming if he sees the sincerity in the heart of someone who's trying to worship. As for Bilvamangal Thakur, yeah, we understand that he had this impurity in the heart for lust for the prostitute Chintamani. But that was taken care of, you know, in a very dramatic way during that great storm in which she herself became one of his instructing gurus. And that awakened that detachment, and he became, you know, very serious at that point and became totally pure. Well, there was one little deviation again. He put his eyes out. We know that. But aside from that, there are other statements like that in the Bhagavatam. I forget the Sanskrit. Vikarma yachopatitam vikarma. It's quoted in the Ishopanishad that even if someone performs an abominable act, vikarma, but he continues to worship his lotus feet, Krishna's lotus feet, then Krishna will forgive and he will purify and bring him to the lotus feet. But the danger is that if we take advantage of this, it's that we perform the offense against the holy name, nam no baladya sahi papa buddhi, maintaining a sinful intelligence or intellect, if you will, means that we continue the sin on the strength of chanting. Oh, I can sin today and tomorrow morning I'll chant Hare Krishna and purify, and therefore I'll have the best of both worlds. You know, I'll become pure and then I can sin and enjoy like that. It doesn't work that way. The holy name is a person. And what will happen is you will lose the inspiration to chant at all. You won't be able to continue on that platform. Because the holy name will withdraw the most valuable thing we have, which is our desire to chant the holy name. Our taste, whatever it may be, a little taste or a lot of taste, or just a determination to chant. If we lose that, because the mercy is withdrawn, the holy name itself withdraws, then we're on a very, very dangerous platform. So this refers to someone who is struggling with an impurity, sincerely trying to become purified, or by accident or circumstance deviates, but that the thrust of his life, his or her life, is to worship the Lord without deviation. Then someone should be considered a sadhu in that regard. I think so. Anyone else?
One person.
Okay, over here. So
one version of the Simple Bhagavatam says, you do not have faith.
Wait. Here, continue. And, please. No, because for the...
There's one version of the Simple Bhagavatam that says, sixth canto, I don't remember what it is. They say that the medicine is not dependent on faith, the person takes the medicine.
Yes.
Is it they take the medicine, the result...
It will act.
Yes.
No, there's that aspect also. Even without understanding or without any faith, if one hears the holy name or perhaps chants the holy name, it will act and eons of sinful reactions will be destroyed. But to actually progress on the path, one has to have faith in order to continue on one's own volition. It's not just a question of accidental contact, you see. The medicine will act, but it's not just one time medicine. It's a series of medications that you have to take. It's a regular shot, right, or a regular infusion in order to really become completely cured. Because the danger of relapse is extremely strong. You know, you may chant one time, you may come and feel, you know, something, become purified. But again, the material tendencies are there, and you go out and you lose the good association and you become totally covered again. So faith is that adau shuddha. Tatak sadhu sangha tabadana kriya. Those are the first three steps. That you have to have that faith to have the association, strengthen your faith, perform bhajan in association, sadhu sangha, the bhajana kriya. And the nartas are destroyed in that way. Mataji, you want to say something?
Same way we have to become addicted to the ones who are addicted to the holy name.
Okay.
My question is, in purport, Prabhupada's talking about a self-realized soul. So a lot of people I know can say, I'm not the body, I'm the soul. And this is the level we go out and we preach to people, you know. But there is a level of self-realization that Srila Prabhupada's talking about, somebody who's actually realized their siddhi, their eternal
right.
So is somebody who hasn't come to that platform, who's, you know, at the ending stages of Bob, where this is revealed, or, you know, they're not just sitting and know it all along, is this also self-realized soul, sadhu we're talking about?
Well, here, you know, he gives a list of symptoms, and there's more verses here. In other words, if you... Yes, there is the Mahabhagavat who is understanding his Siddhadeya, his relationship with Krishna. This is great association. You know, this is the best association. But sadhu is not defined like that here. In other words, certainly that person is a sadhu, but a sadhu is given a little broader definition. One who is truly renounced. So you can see the behavior. You can see how sincere someone is in order to put him or herself in a situation where it requires tolerance, where they're actually merciful, where they're always glorifying Krishna. There's so many lists of the qualities of a devotee. No wasting of time. You know, truly caring. You know, and giving advice to anyone who comes in order to advance their devotional service as much as they can. So we need to find that kind of association as well as this other association. For that other association, of course, we always have the opportunity of associating with Prabhupada in the ways I described. But ideally, you know, we should try to find someone who is you know, in that position. But we can't wait for that. You know, it's urgent that we begin as soon as possible. So where is that association now? Okay, in devotees who are a little further along and through the media that Prabhupada has left for us, I would say, is available.
Comment was that, like in two or three lines next to each other, Shrila Prabhupada, he's saying that, you know, the following rules and regulations is Vaidhi Gaki isn't so important, and then right after, it's almost like an oxymoron that you have to service the shelter of someone unflinching.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm curious as to why you put... They like two opposite things.
Well, I think, you know, we can learn something from Upadeshamrita. You know how you the fifth verse, Krishneti Yasya Giritang Manasadriyeta, Dikshasi Chepadantabhishta Bhajanta Misham, Shushu Shaya Bhajanta Vidhyamananyamanyananda Dishunya Vidamipsita Sangha Labhya. Here comes that word Sangha again and again, Sangha Labhya. So, for someone, we're discussing in the morning, we're reading just in the morning when we read the CC, we're at that part where who is a Vaishnav, and it says, well, someone who chants the holy name once we're just discussing, is worshipable, right? Is a worshipable person, puja, the word is shrestha, is the best. So, okay, is it pure chanting, or, but the point is, even if someone just chants once, you can honor them in your mind. Manasadriyate is described. Here's a person who, out of billions of people, has actually uttered the word Krishna. And by that name, we should have faith. You know, so many millions of births of karma have been eradicated in sin. So, but then someone who has properly taken initiation from a real spiritual master and is following, then we offer physical obeisances. But someone who is shushushaya bhajana vigyam ananya ninda shunyadi, who is free of the propensity to criticize others, who is truly humble soul, and who is undeviating in worship. In other words, a great soul. We should be very eager for their association and to serve them as well. So we have to see, all Vaishnavas are great souls, but how we associate with each class of Vaishnava, we have to know from the Shastra, so that we can maximize the effects of the good association. Huh? Yeah, some discrimination. So on one level, the person who isn't following and so forth, but is somehow chanting the holy name, they're great, but we can, you know, if that's all the association we have, let's get together with them and chant Hare Krishna and try to lift each other up by our bootstraps. You know, you go some place in Siberia, or, you know, there's not so many devotees, you know, okay, well, let's help each other chant Hare Krishna. But when we have a large community, when you have so many, you know, wonderful devotees coming here, not myself, but so many sannyasis. Yesterday I was so impressed with Hanumat Prasika Maharaj. You know, I've known him for so many years. We had one little class, but he was giving all of these, you know, realizations, and his preaching is so wonderful. I mean, that's to me, that was a wonderful experience. You know, so usually these great souls, they come and then they go, you know. But when they come, we should try to hear them, try to do some service, you know, and in this way benefit. So this is what I understand from this. Okay, one more, because we should end, and I'll let you go. Pran, go ahead.
Just a little adding to that.
Yeah. When what?
When disciple is ready, Guru appears.
Right.
But also Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, according to propensity and eligibility, it is not that even if Param Bhagavat comes to someone who has no clue about recognizing Mandira, Parta, Kalatam, all these symptoms, but benefit, unless that pure devotee, by his own mercy, bestows it, the Prabhupada did most of the time.
Right.
Otherwise, this is the formula. According to propensity and eligibility, Krishna in the heart, who is also Guru outside, manifests. It comes from
here. Very good. Okay, I'll leave you with this one poem. We're always supposed to end on something sweet. So here's a nice little sweet poem. You may have heard this before. Manasiddhi pani dushte, labdha pato smi dushte, timada gahana rupe, hanta sangsara kupe. Ajit nikala raksha heta mundara raksham upanayama haste bhakti rajjum namaste. Fallen in this deep and dark and dirty well of Maya, threatened by the snake of lust whose venom burns like fire. Helplessly I plead, O Lord, whose strength is ne'er in doubt, place the rope of bhakti in my hands and pull me out. Hare Krishna.